So some of those stories grab you, don't they? Like you get invested like instantly. One form of stories I really like is films. Like when I sit down for a film, I might have some snacks with me, which always makes it a little bit better, doesn't it? So I've got films on it, but there is one film that is my absolute favourite. And I almost wore a t-shirt this morning just to add to my point, but then I realised I had paint all over it, so it didn't look great. And that is Jurassic Park. Now, I love Jurassic Park. Yes. I must have watched it so many times. Growing up, it's got a really special place in my heart. I've been to see it at the Royal Albert Hall with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra playing the music at the same time. I love it so much. When I was there, I cried watching that film. So I love Jurassic Park. There's nothing about it I don't like. I love the music. I love the characters. I love the way it's filmed. I love the suspense. I love the gore. I love that people get eaten by a dinosaur. And I just love everything about it. I even managed to sneak some of Jurassic Park into mine and Lay's wedding. So she was very gracious to me. If you ever saw the back of our wedding cake, there was a Jurassic Park badge on the back. And there was, our tables were named after dinosaurs. And so I love Jurassic Park. And actually what I do is I catch myself daydreaming that I'm part of the story, that I'm in Jurassic Park. Sometimes I think maybe I'm Alan Grant. Alan Grant, I assume you know who that is. He's the guy who's like the paleontologist. He's a clever one. He's the smart one. He solves all the problems with his brain, and he's a hero. He's probably my favourite character. Or maybe sometimes I think maybe it'll be Ian Malcolm. He's the one, if you watch the film, his shirt gradually becomes more and more unbuttoned as the film goes on. It always makes me laugh that that's what happens. But he has clever one-liners. He's the one that kind of pushes the boundaries a little bit. And I love it. And I think maybe I could be them. But if I'm having a really good day, I start to dream, what if I was just Sam in that story? What if it was just me? Like, what if I could live out like being a character in Jurassic Park? Maybe I could be the hero. Maybe I could play my part. Maybe I could save the people in that area from being eaten. I'd love to be part of Jurassic Park. It'd be like a dream come true. I think deep down we all long to be part of the story. Maybe it's not Jurassic Park for you, but maybe it's a love story. Maybe you love adventure stories. Or maybe you love fairy tales where it starts off quite like once upon a time, a bit of mishap, and then by the end they live happily ever after. Maybe that's the story you want to be part of. But I think we all want to be part of a story that's bigger than ourselves. And today I want to talk to you about that. Because I think we all long to be part of it, and if we're not part of it, we feel empty. We feel like something's missing. And over this journey, we've been looking at the God story, and thankfully, the whole thing we're looking at today is how God has written his story, and he includes us to be one of the characters in that story. And it's so, so beautiful the way he's done it. So as I said, if we're not part of a story, I think we're left searching. And I don't think we feel fully fulfilled. But even if we're part of the story, if we're not playing our part, I think we can start to feel some of those feelings as well. We start to feel a lack of fulfillment. We start to think, oh, it's not that easy, but I don't really know what I'm doing. I feel a bit lost in what's going on. But God does call us to play a part in his story. And the question is, how do we do it? And what does that look like living it out day by day? And thankfully, God doesn't leave us guessing in that. He talks to us about it. So he tells us through his word. And today, I want to go through another story in Acts. Last time I preached on Cornelius, which is also an expert. Today, I want to look at Acts chapter 3, touching on a little bit of Acts chapter 4. It's a powerful story that really shows us what it is to play our part in God's story. So I'm going to summarize the beginning bit. So it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Peter and John are heading to the temple. And they're at the beautiful gate, and a man who has been unable to walk since birth is there, and he's begging. He comes every day begging for money. When he saw Peter and John, he asked for money. Peter stops and speaks these words that change everything for this man. He says this, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Peter then leans down and takes him by the hand, and immediately his legs are strong. He stood, he walked, he jumped, and he went into the temple courts praising God. The crowd stopped in amazement. They recognized him. This is the same man who's come every single day, has begged every single day. And all around, they were filled with amazement and wonder at what has happened. So as we step into this story of Acts 3, I want us to pick up on a few things about what we can learn of how to play our part. So we see again that Peter and John are at the temple at 3 p.m. If you remember last time I preached, I said 3 p.m. is a usual rhythm of prayer for Jewish people. And I think we pick up straight away from Peter and John what's going on and what's one of the key fundamentals of how we play our part in God's story. We must know the author of the story. Only a chapter earlier in Acts 2, the believers experience Pentecost. It is an amazing encounter with God where they're filled with the Holy Spirit. But yet notice this, the encounter didn't replace the need to pray, it deepened it. Their hunger for God grew as their intimacy increased. They longed to know him more, both personally and corporately. That's a picture of what our life should be like today, an ongoing lifestyle of getting to know God. And that's why we chose the God story. It's not because it condenses the Bible into a really nice, shorter book that we can easily read and it makes it much easier to understand. They are all good. But we chose it because we wanted each one of us to grow in intimacy with the author of his story and that we would discover his love for us in a deeper way. And as I said in week one of this series way, way back, we want you to know you are loved. We also want you to realize that God draws us into his story and asks us to live for him. And we believe reading the God story along with the Bible does that in our journey with God. It's so important that we're rooted in relationship. We see this with Peter and John with the rhythm of prayer, as I mentioned, and their desire for intimacy. See, I think Peter and John had understood that they need every day to come to God. I think they understood that their whole relationship, their whole desire should be rooted in a relationship with God. And they realized the importance of that. And they realized that they wanted that when Jesus left, they asked him to imitate him. Do what he's done. You'll do greater things for me. But they realized that all of that comes out of their desire to love him and to be close with him. See, this desire to be close to God and their willingness to play their part changed the whole of their mindset and their actions. I don't know if you picked up on this when that brief summary of the beginning part of the story that I read. When they encounter the lame man, they say this, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." What does that really tell us about their mindset shift? Their trust was in God, not in wealth. Peter and John realize that their story is part of a bigger story and isn't defined by wealth, but by relationship. Their trust wasn't in money. It wasn't in their phone personal finances. It was in the God who provides. They moved away from personal gain and into a new position of faith, of trust in God. And how did that happen? Well, they knew God and they knew his provision. They knew his life over their life that he would always provide for them. And they knew they had to be close to the author. And as we gave today, as you've just given, we are making the same declaration, church. Our security isn't in wealth, but it's in the one who provides. Our trust is in him, the author of his story. Secondly, we see their confidence was in Jesus' name, not in their own power. I think Peter and John make it crystal clear, for Peter says this, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." They knew it wasn't their own ability. They knew it wasn't their own strength or their reputation that could heal. The miracle belonged to Jesus. Their role was to simply play their part. That kind of certainty, I think, only comes out of relationship. They walked with Jesus day by day. They had seen his works. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they knew that the Holy Spirit was in them and with them always. See, proximity bred intimacy, and intimacy birthed boldness. By being close to God and knowing the author, their confidence rose. And this confidence and their intimacy produced expectancy. Notice the tone of Peter. There's no hesitation when he says, "Stand up and walk." It's not arrogance, it's total expectancy and trust in God. See, faith has been born out of closeness with the author of the story. And then there's that beautiful detail of the story I picked up on. I don't know if you noticed, Peter reaches down his hand and picks up the lame man. Now, some people say that's a sign of doubt. He was worried that the healing hadn't taken place, so he reaches down and goes, I've got you in case you fall. That's not what it is at all, in my opinion, and other theologians also agree with me, which is great. Peter had seen Jesus do this. In the story where he raises Jairus' daughter, he leans down and picks her up by the hand. See, this isn't doubt, it's imitation. He was walking the footsteps of Jesus. See, the miracle belonged to Christ, but Peter played his part. And as theologian Thomas Walker put it, the power was Christ's, but the hand was Peter's. Once more, the intimacy with the author had produced expectancy. See, that's the starting point of playing our part. Know the author, live in the intimacy with him, and trust him always. But it would be no good just knowing that and doing nothing about it. So we know the author and we're called to live. But here's the thing. We can't live in that calling if we're not paying attention to where he's leading us. And God does something so beautifully in this. Out of that place of relationship, the one with all power and all authority draws us close and then he sends us out to share his story with others. That's exactly what Peter and John are doing here. They've met with God, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and instead of isolating themselves, they walk straight into the temple courts, into the ordinary flow of life. And there, at the beautiful gate, they encounter a man who has been lame since birth. Now, picture the scene. I don't know if you've ever looked up a picture of the beautiful gate. It really is beautiful. It's massive. It's 75 feet tall. It's covered in Corinthian brass. It's dazzling. It's like it would blow your mind if you stood in front of it. That was the whole point of it. It was to go, wow, look at this. You're in awe. And Josephus says this. He said, it greatly excelled those that were covered with silver and gold. So you can imagine a gate covered with silver and gold. It must look amazing. This beautiful gate blew it out of the water. So that you're dazzled by this beautiful gate. The doors are grand, it's towering, it's beautiful. And at the base of the beauty, on the ground sat a man in poverty. A man begging just to survive. What a contrast that is. Breathtaking architecture, yet broken humanity. And here's the key. Peter and John notice the man. They aren't distracted by the beauty. They aren't put off by the poverty. They stop, they look, and they listen. How often do we miss moments like that? We get so consumed by the world, the noise of the world, and as Steve put it last week, the lions are roaring for your attention. We scroll past the need. We walk past the loneliness. We get distracted by the golden gates of our phone, our work, our schedules. I shudder to think how many times I've missed the cry of someone. Maybe it wasn't for money, but maybe it was for friendship. I haven't really seen anyone this week, and I ignore it. Or maybe it's someone who just wants someone to listen. I can't get this thing off my mind, but I just move on in my conversation. Or maybe it's practical help. We're really struggling to meet ends meet, but I've been too distracted to notice the cry. But what do Peter and John do? As we said, they notice and they engage in this man's story. See, what do? They hear the need. They hear the want, but they give the need. The man is asking for money because that's all he knows what to do. But when Peter and John listen, they know him better than he knows himself. What they do, they could have said, sorry, mate, I've got no money, and just kept on walking. But what they do, they engage with the man and they say, I've got no silver and gold, but what I do have is Jesus. They offer healing. They offer wholeness. They offer the man Jesus himself. And the man is healed. It's a miraculous story. And what does it do to the man? He stands up, he leaps, he praises God. He's got it. The action has led to relationship. That man's life is transformed in an instant. But what else do Peter and John do? They point the man to God's bigger story. Peter and John knew that this wasn't about one man walking. It was about the author of life stepping into his story. It was about God's love, God's healing, God's restoration breaking in. They don't hold the story inside. They live it out. They share it. They play their part. Church, Peter and John didn't miss the story of this man. And they didn't forget the God story at the same time. They brought the two together and heaven touched earth. And we're called to do the same. We're called to notice, to stop, to listen, to step into someone else's story with the love and truth of Jesus. Because when we pay attention to others' stories, we create a space for God's story to be written in their lives. But let's pick up on the story again of Peter and John. So they've healed this man. He goes in, praise him. And as this happens, the crowd see the man and they're amazed. And they surround Peter and John and they're filled with wonder. And Peter takes a chance to speak. He told them, "Why are you amazed? Why do you stare at me as if a man has made this man walk? It wasn't our power, it was Jesus." Peter reminded them of Jesus. And what he does, he reminded them that he was the one that they rejected and that he handed Jesus over to be killed. He says this, "It is Jesus, the author of life, whom God has glorified, who healed this man." Isn't that a great little side note of we're doing the God story? Even in Acts, Jesus is called the author of life. Peter then offers them all forgiveness by repenting and living for God. As he is preaching, the Sadducees and the captain of the guard take Peter and John to jail, but many have believed. So as we dive into the next part of the story, we see that playing our part isn't just what we do, it's also about what we say. Peter and John could have left the miracle as it is, couldn't they? A lame man is walking. The crowd would be amazed. You can imagine the whole Jerusalem would find out about it anyway. And they could have been like, "My job is done. I've brought the Holy Spirit. He's worked through me. A miracle has taken place and we're done." But that's not what they do at all. Peter sees the crowd gathering and he realizes this is another moment for me to play my part. He says, "Now it is. Now's the time." He's got a choice. Will I stand back and let the people marvel at the miracle, or will I step in and play my part as the author of the story has asked me to do? Peter doesn't hesitate. He grabs the moment. He speaks. He takes their wonder and he directs it straight at Jesus. And that's our calling too. When people notice our lives, when they see something different about us, when they ask us, "Why do you have this hope?" These are all moments where we get to direct them back to Jesus, when we get to tell them the God story. And notice how Peter does it. First of all, he gives the glory to God. In other words, he's saying, "Don't look at me, look at him." When he says, "I didn't do this, God healed." That's humility, isn't it? That's the posture of someone who knows their story is part of a bigger story. And that's how we need to tell our story too. Not boasting in ourselves, but pointing to God, the one who heals, who forgives, who restores. But he doesn't stop there, Peter. He says, "I'm going to tell you the truth." I don't know about you, this seems quite blunt if you've ever read this story. So Peter says this, "You handed him over, you disowned him, you killed the author of life." Can you imagine hearing that? Where you're like, "Wow, this is a miracle, it's so good. You killed him." Like, that would be like, that would grab me, and my heart would be like, "Ooh, that hurts. This person, this God who's just healed and restored this man, I handed him over to death." But let's be honest, that feeling I felt right there is often what we do. We shy away from telling the truth. We don't want to offend. We don't want to risk the awkwardness. But church, there's no good news without hearing the bad news first. Without Jesus, we are lost. Without Jesus, we are separated from God. Without Jesus, we are destined for eternity without him. People need to hear the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. But thankfully, Peter does a beautiful thing. He doesn't stop just there. He brings hope. He says this, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Did you hear the grace in that? The same people who cry, "Crucify him," are now being invited in and saying, "Forgive me." That's the gospel. That's the beauty of the God story. That no matter what you've done, the author of life offers you a brand new chapter. Turn to him, say sorry, and live for him. And for us who have already are followers of Jesus, that is the challenge for us, isn't it? How far will we go? Will we just talk about God in general? Or are we happy to tell the truth, offer salvation, and ask that extra question, will you believe? But in our mind, we think, what if they think I'm weird? What if they get angry? What if I lose that friendship? But listen to this. God is the one who saves. We simply play our part. Just like Peter stretched out his hand to the lame man, we're called to stretch out an invitation for people to receive Jesus. Because it's God who does the saving, but he asks us to do the telling. And that's what it means to play our part. Not just to act in love, but to speak with boldness. Not just to live the story, but tell the story. And that's what Peter and John are doing. It's all going great, isn't it, so far? It's amazing. They've healed, the Holy Spirit has worked through them, and a lame man has been healed. The crowd has gathered. They've told the truth. They've directed it back to Jesus. They've given the gospel. It's all going so well. And we think, what a great story. Let's end there. But that's not what happens. The Sadducees and the captain of the guard hear, and they take him away and put them in jail. Because we need to know that playing our part isn't always easy. We need to know that it will come at a cost. Jesus himself has promised this to us. He says this, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. For Peter and John, they were put in prison. But for us, it might not look like chains. It might be but persecution will still come. It might be mockery at work. It might be tension in your family. It might be being excluded, misunderstood, or dismissed because of your faith. But here's the thing. The cost doesn't cancel the call. And it doesn't stop us playing our part. We cannot let opposition silence us or fear hold us back. Why? Because a God story has showed us again and again that Jesus has given it all for you. And will you give it all for him? As Paul says in Romans, we are called to be living sacrifices, holding nothing back, giving it all for him. So when persecution comes, and it will, remember the price that has been paid for you. Remember the commission you were given. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's the mission. That's the call. That's what it means to play our part. And here's the encouragement. When persecution comes, it very rarely stops the gospel. In fact, it often accelerates it. Right here in Acts 4, we hear this. They were in jail and they hear this. The number of believers grew to about 5,000 men, not counting women or children. The enemy tried to silence the story, but the author kept writing. What a reward that is. To be loved by God, to be included in his story, and to see lives transformed by Jesus. What a privilege it is to play our part. To know that even in the face of opposition, our part in God's story can bring hope, healing, and salvation to others. Because the cost is real, but the reward is greater. So as we come to the end of the God Story series, let's not close the final page and forget the journey. Let's remember this. The God story is not finished. It's a story where God includes us, where he longs for us to play our part. If you're not a follower of Jesus here today, hear this. He's inviting you into his story. He's inviting you into the greatest love story you will ever hear, you will ever experience, that you'll ever get to be a part of. From the beginning of time, God has moved close to humanity. He came in the closeness in all of Jesus himself, God, who stepped into history as a man, lived a perfect life, and showed such radical love that he gave his life on a cross to save you. And on that cross, he gave and took all your sin, everything you've done wrong, everything that separated you from God himself. And through his death and belief in him, you are forgiven and saved. And through his resurrection, you are made alive. And he's offering you new life today. All you've got to do is turn to him and say, I'm sorry. Choose to follow him today. If you're not a Christian here today, he is inviting you into his story. Will you say yes? But if you are a Jesus follower here today, maybe for you it's about recommitting your walk to him and saying, I will play my part. Maybe his first thing you want to do is become more intimate with him. You want to set aside 10 more minutes each day, or maybe just 10 minutes to start, where you'll read your Bible, you'll talk to him, you'll pray, maybe book a slot in the prayer room. Choose intimacy. Or maybe God is calling you today to listen and don't isolate yourself. Hear what he's saying. Don't be distracted by the world's noise. Listen to his calling and follow it. Maybe he's asking you to live out and speak out his story. Maybe this week you will take an opportunity he gives you to share his story with someone who doesn't know him. Because a God story isn't something we just read, it's something we live. It's a story where God writes his love into our story and through us into the lives of others. Imagine if we were a church who truly walked and believed in this. If we accepted it and loved it, we would be a church marked out by intimacy with the author of creation, the author of the story. We would be the one that realizes that he loves everyone amongst us and we walk in daily relationship with him. We would be a community that where everyone would carry the assurance that we are loved, that we play our part in the highs and the lows, in the costs, realizing the reward. We would also be a people that notice and engage the story of others around us. We would be bringers of hope, speaking life, sharing the gospel, pointing people to Jesus. We'd be a people that play our part. We'd be a people that live in the privilege of seeing life transformed. So don't just close the book. Play your part in his story.